Lake Effect continues on WUWM. I'm Audrey Nowakowski. The problems facing incarcerated people often don't end when they're released. People who've served time in prison can face discrimination when looking for housing or a job, and the stigma of going to prison can make it difficult to reestablish ties in their community. That's why Pastor Jill Elwanger decided to found Project Return. 40 years ago, his congregation was looking for ways to better their neighborhood and found that formerly incarcerated people returning to their community, like Rodney Evans, needed help dealing with prejudice and regaining a sense of worth. Evans is now the corporate board president of Project Return. He and Pastor Elwanger joined Lake Effect's Joy Powers to talk about the program.
To start here, just tell me a bit about Project Return. How do you describe the work that you do?
Well, the way that it affected my life and the way that I see it is it started out 40 years ago. A group of people in a church, in a community, were seeing a problem in that community, and they made up their minds that they wanted to do something about that problem. Well, 40 years later, we're an organization that helps people coming back into the community from incarceration in every aspect of their lives. We want to be a resource of some kind for them to acclimate themselves back into the community in a safe and a productive way.
The special focus in helping people come back and make a successful return to the community is to help them find a job, and then secondly, housing, and then thirdly, some support, giving them the certainty that there are people around them that are going to be there if they need some assistance.
Now, when we think about people who were formerly incarcerated, former prisoners, what are some of the general misconceptions that people have about people who have been in prison and now are re-entering their community?
Well, there are many misconceptions,
yeah.
And probably the most serious one is that people think that because somebody committed a crime, and it may not even have been a very serious crime, like possession of marijuana, whatever the crime may have been, people think that that person is the same 10 years later or 20 years later as they were when they went into the system. And that's just not true. We're all changing constantly, and that's true for people who are incarcerated. So we need to understand that people do change and that they are humans just like us.
Rodney, for you, when you re-entered your community, what were some of the things that you faced from people, some of the ideas that people had about you?
I mean, like Pastor Joe said, I was the same person, if not worse, that I needed to pay for whatever it was that I was doing time for the rest of my life. And just, I was no longer referred to as Rodney. I was all kinds of other names, you know, offender. You know, I had to go see a PO, and, you know, I was a number. So no identity. And eventually what it did is I started to believe that stuff about myself. So Project Return has been instrumental in helping me to see that I am not those things that was projected onto me from being incarcerated.
Yeah, as someone who was a client of Project Return, why was this an organization that you decided to become involved with after your incarceration?
Well, actually, I was referred to Project Return by my PO instead of being sent back to prison. So I got arrested. I look at it like I was violently snatched out of my comfort zone, which was drugs and alcohol, that lifestyle. And I was put in this program. And the only thing that kept me from continuing to live that life in the beginning was I didn't want to go back to prison. But then it became a thing of they treated me like I was no different than one of them. So even in my mind, when I thought that I was less than, they treated me like I was one of them. And eventually, the love that they continued to show me took away my options to go back to where I was. And then it started to build me up to see a whole different side of life. So I didn't choose in the beginning to be there. But once I was there for 12 weeks, because that's how long my program was, I knew for a fact that this place was a saving place for me.
Well, now you've worked up to becoming the president of the board, so it must be an organization that you believe in.
Oh, my God. First of all, you have to understand that all of that stuff was by the grace of God. You know, I just was there. All I knew was that I needed this place. This place pumped life into me. And so I just stayed there to receive that life, and I just happened to be in places at times where I had the opportunity to be on the board. And then one time I was on the board and I had the opportunity to become the president. And this was nothing that I was aspiring to do, but it happened. And it was just part of this new life that I was living. And I am very, 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 very grateful for this experience.
You talked a bit about what your transition was like, at least, you know, how people responded to your getting out of prison, you serving your time. What are some of the common challenges that formerly incarcerated people face when they reenter the community? And this is both a question for you, Rodney, and you, Pastor Joe.
One of the main places that I realized it was a whole lot of pushback was just finding a job. I'm an excellent worker. I have my own business right now. But when I was in Project Return and I was going to these temporary services and putting my heart into these jobs, man, they would turn around in a minute and be like, oh, we can't accept you. And it was simply because of my criminal history.
Yeah, I think one of the big things that has to be overcome when people come out is precisely that history. When they try to apply for a job, the employer or the human resources person checks on the internet to see what background is reported there. And then once they find that they are a formerly incarcerated person, then their application is usually off the table. That in itself is a real barrier to getting a job. But then secondly, when you get turned down again and again and again, you begin to lose hope that you ever will get a job. And so that becomes a very personal challenge to keep trying and to keep hope alive, as Jesse Jackson puts it.
Right.
Pastor Joe, this is an organization that you've been involved with for a long time. What drew you to this mission?
Well, I could go all the way back to my parish in Birmingham, Alabama. I was a pastor in an African-American congregation in Birmingham from 1958 to 1967. And, of course, that was right at the time of the Civil Rights Movement, and I was in the right place at the right time to be a part of the Birmingham demonstrations in 1963 and the demonstrations in Selma in 1965, led by Dr. King and the Southern Christian Leadership Conference. Well, that's where I learned very clearly that as a person of faith, I should be involved in the larger community and should be involved in bringing about justice and removing some of the injustices. So that's where the whole motivation came from. But then when I got to Milwaukee and our congregation did a study of the surrounding community and how we could reach out and be of service and significance to the community, we discovered that there were four pre-release centers, four minimum security prisons, within a mile or two of our congregation, and we found out that the services there for the men and women were very few, but we found out that community people could actually volunteer and worked with them, and that's when we started Project Return to really help people coming back make that positive return, because we found out how many people go back into the system because they can't navigate that reentry period that comes as a big shocker when they come out of the system and meet with various barriers. So we got drawn in because our congregation said we need to be doing something and walking with these people who are coming back.
As you just mentioned, of course, you marched during the civil rights movement of the 1960s, and we're right now, for this time, we're having a racial justice movement. And this is a question for both you and Rodney. Where does mass incarceration fit into this larger picture of racial justice in the United States today?
For a nation such as ours, with all the resources that we have, to have the highest rate of incarceration of any country in the world, including China and Russia and countries that, you know, we sort of imagine as being extremely oppressive, we have the highest rate of incarceration. So there's something wrong with our system. There are a lot of things wrong, but the mass incarceration has resulted for many reasons, and one of the big reasons is because we do not have the proper resources and services available for people when they come out. And the result is that half of the people going into prison in Wisconsin every year are people who have not committed any new crime, but simply have broken a rule of their community supervision that they're under when they come out. The failure of people to make it in reentry is what feeds mass incarceration in Wisconsin and in this country.
And then the second thing is quite profitable.
Can you unpack that a bit?
It's big business. There's a lot of money being made off of warehousing people. There's a lot of money being made in different ways.
Yeah, to unpack that a bit for listeners who might be less familiar with mass incarceration, when we talk about the money that is created through warehousing people, it's not simply by imprisoning people, but rather the people who are paid to work at these prisons, the different companies that are paid to supply different things to the prisons, whether that's food or bedding or clothing.
Or razors, yeah.
Or razors. The variety of companies that ultimately profit from the government paying for people to be in prison.
That is correct. You have just fleshed out what Rodney has said, correct?
Right.
Now, when it comes to a program like Project Return, what is it that you want people to understand about this kind of programming, which they might not quite get?
Well, one of the things that I would like to say that Project Return wants the community to understand about Project Return is that, number one, we have a great love for our community, for a healthy community.
All right. Well, Rodney, Pastor Joe, thank you both so much for joining us here on Lake Effect and sharing your work.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, Joy.
Pastor Jill Elwanger is the founder of Project Return. Rodney Evans is the corporate board president and a former client of the project. They both spoke with Lake Effect's Joy Powers. Later this month, Project Return is holding its 40th annual gala. The virtual event will be held October 27th, and you can find more information at wuwm.com.